Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to Stymie, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Matt Steinbeck, down with Guru Johnson and Dan Dibley with you. Thanks for joining us on a payday. Oh, I'm sorry, Goo. Just on a regular old Friday. Regular old Friday. But we're looking forward to the weekend, but not before. What do you... What, Dibs?
I don't get it. It is a payday.
But
I don't understand why you pulled the plug on congratulating Guru on a payday Friday.
Because there's different paydays in the Johnson household, deal.
Yeah,
so she's out of here buying you some time.
If Mrs. Guru,
if Mrs. Guru, I have a wife
to the radio, then now she knows it's payday.
Hand it over. You know what I mean, deal? Okay. All hand it over.
Well, I just want to be in on the inside jokes.
Right, okay.
And,
you know,
already the audience is feeling alienated enough that it's a Phil Collins Friday. And so now with these inside jokes, I'm feeling even more on the outside on my own program.
I prefer some more hip-hop. I never told Spadoni, Stoney, but let me tell you.
I like when a new show starts, you have new traditions.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
That's not a bad idea. We can come up with some new traditions. By the way, Goo, I heard Shasky during the break talk about the cooking the big Snake River Farm steak over at your place.
Wagyu steaks, the best steaks I've ever had, Stoney, because I tasted them.
How do you know? I heard you didn't eat it.
No, on camera. We didn't actually
get that on. Oh, you didn't eat it
on
camera.
Wasn't my fault, but yeah, okay. But dude, it dips. Well, you would know. It melts in your mouth, and honestly, it's the best steak I've ever had. I mean it. My wife, the kids, we were fighting over the last. I mean, man, it was, woo, Wagyu steaks, man. The best steak I've ever had.
Real quick, Snake River Farms, their beef is the best beef in North America. No doubt. And you know why? I've actually done a ton of research on this. It's fascinating. It's the way they treat the cows, Goo. From the moment they're born. Yeah, dead serious. From the moment they're born, they're treated like an elite athlete. They only eat organic things. They're raised relatively individually. So, for example, disease doesn't spread among all the cows. They're cared for in the most humane way of any traditional beef ranch, for example. So, what goes into those cows' bodies is top of the line food and nourishment, and it exposes itself in the meat when you eat it. It is by far the best kind of meat you can buy.
Dibs, real quick here. I'm trying to get some more. It was that damn good. The kids asking. I'm like, let me work on it. Yeah, we got some chicken now to work with, so I can spin.
Okay, that's right. You do. Hey, let's do some more fun headlines. We got a couple guys who want to throw a headline in there. Let's go to Cruiser. Cruiser's in San Jose. What's going on, Cruiser? How you doing, buddy?
What's going on, fellas? Good afternoon, fellas. Hey,
yes.
Here's the headline. Dibley sidelined by fermented kale, vows to return to starting position on the bench in week 8.
Good uptick. I like it. I don't know how you can have a starting position on the bench. I got some kale snacks on deck. I'm back to eating solid food today, which is exciting. And I don't know if kale necessarily turns to where I'll get the BGs like some might after a fast food visit.
Yeah. Interestingly, two minutes after Dibley complains about inside jokes on our show, We got a caller who upticks, and we don't do that on this show.
Right. And that's got to go on the producer. Yeah. I mean, the producer's screening calls, and he right now he's crunching an apple and pretty much thinking about his weekend plans.
Stitches get stitches, dear.
Yeah. Well, it's a crunchy apple, and you know, he's letting anybody through today, apparently.
The one thing I was thinking about with this game between the Rams and the Niners is the two dominant players on each team's defense, Aaron Donald and Nick Bosa. And the 49ers will not have Nick Bosa, and that affects their entire defensive line. Alex Boone, the former offensive lineman, was on with a morning roast today, and he answered specifically how the 49ers try to keep Donald off Jimmy Garoppolo.
You have to keep him frustrated. He doesn't want to be double-teamed. And I knew coaches when I played that were like, oh, we're not going to double him. He's the guy you double the whole game. I don't care. I remember when we played him, they used to bring the blitz from opposite of Aaron every single time. So they made you pick your poison. Are you going to let Aaron go one-on-one? Or are you going to let our safety or outside linebacker come off the edge on the other side? And those are choices you have to make. But when you're watching Aaron Donald play football, he is an extremely rare player. He is incredible. He's always hyped up. He's always turned up. He never looks it. And that's the one thing when you're watching him play, people that double-team him, they're successful against him. And then all of a sudden something happens and they say, oh, we got to make an adjustment. No. The adjustment is you block 99. You need to handle him this week for this game. He is the heartbeat of this team. Do not let him get started.
I guess the theory there, guys, is don't let the best player on the other team beat you. Make it be somebody else.
But what he's saying is scary because if you're going to bring two rushers on the other side, you're going to have to pick your poison. Are you going to try to single up Aaron Donald? And if so, who's going to do that? If you got Donald coming in over the center who may have a bad ankle and you've got the guard who's going to come in and maybe double team Donald, and now you've got Trent Williams on the left tackle spot having to deal with two guys coming through, what this means, Goo, is you're going to have to keep a running back in to block more often than you otherwise would want with this offense.
Yeah, and I felt like he was, you know, not in a bad way, but he was talking to Saleh, Steiny. He was talking about coaches, didn't want to go Frank Sinatra and do it their way, but you need to double team 99. And I just hope this is not a sack fest, as some think it will be Sunday night on national TV with Michaels and Collinsworth in the house, because what's not being mentioned and what's really got me, you know, the trepidation in my voice is the fact that the Rams have a score to settle. They watched the Niners beat them last year and go to the Super Bowl and then ruin the Rams' chances in the last second playoff ditch, you know, in the last few games of the season on a Saturday night comeback where Jimmy Garoppolo converted a couple third and 15s, Dibs. I don't like this, and I just think the Rams are more talented, they're more healthy, and that just don't bode well for the red and gold come Sunday night.
It doesn't, but fortunately, you're in a situation where you can keep it close. If you can keep it close, then you can utilize your run game, which is absolutely tantamount to everything. If you get yourself into third and long, Jimmy G, good luck, because you know Aaron Donald's coming, and you know they're going to bring extra heat around the outside, and they're going to really warm up Jimmy Garoppolo early and often in this game. But if you can do what you did last year, as Steiny pointed out, keep it to second and six, then you got third and two, third and three. All of a sudden now, this Rams defense has to be kept honest, which you didn't have against Miami. You fell behind. You had to throw it. And those sacks they gave up on first down, guys, that's going to be the key. I know we always talk about staying ahead of the sticks, but now more than ever, with a quarterback not at 100%, you got to make sure you stay out of second and long.
I really think that the offensive line is going to play well. I really do. I part of it is they have no choice but to play better than last game. But if we go down that line, I get that there's some imperfections. But by and large, that line should still be above average. And usually, what happens after a bad game, especially a bad game in which they essentially blamed communication, and I'll even say this, that doesn't necessarily have to be an excuse. That can actually be part of the reason. So if they can fix some of that, I think their offensive line is going to play better than they have last week or even the week before. And that's to me, that's where it's got to start. That's where it's got to start.
I'll give you that. But, Dibs, did you hear, and not to put you on the spot, all of us on the spot here, but I was just listening to Peter King on the promo he was on earlier this week with DRK. He didn't mention high ankle sprain at all, but he put in the same sentence Jimmy Garoppolo and Steve Sachs. Can you elaborate to what he meant by that? Like, that's mental. When you start talking about Chuck Knoblauch and Steve Sachs-Steiny, what
Jose
are you talking
Altuve,
about
goo,
when we're talking about our quarterback?
Vintage.
What does that mean? That means to the list.
What it does mean is that the great Peter King is not quite as familiar with baseball as football. Because the Steve Sachs situation impacted a career. All right? Mm. Jimmy Garoppolo's had a bad game or two. If all of a sudden, if Jimmy Garoppolo stinks against the Rams and keeps stinking, okay, I think that's fair. But we're not there.
No, all right. I had to ask. I don't get it. Yeah,
like Steve Sachs had a legitimate mental.
He was good too.
Mental issue where he couldn't get the ball to first base, so. That's different than Jimmy Garoppolo throwing an interception here and there, is all I'm saying. So let's go to Miguel. Miguel's out in Hayward. What's up, Miguel? How you doing, man? Talk to me, Miguel.
Well, see you later.
Yeah, see you later. Got to be fast. We move extremely fast on a Friday. But obviously we got a major game on Sunday, 49ers versus the Rams. 49ers come in 2-3. I mean, that's as many games as they lost all of last year, guys.
Yeah, man.
And now they could be looking at 4 losses in their first 6 games. It's just amazing how things have gone from the revenge tour or let's get back to that Super Bowl. Now it's we got to win some games to get back in the playoff picture.
Oof. Yeah, and even we got to win some games to avoid an embarrassing season, you could even say. I mean, to get back in the playoff picture and avoid embarrassment, those go hand in hand. But you mentioned it before, Steiny, if you dipped 2-4, 0-2 in the division, and by the way, that would be 0-4 at home.
Right.
This is Levi Stadium that became a tough place to play. It became a hostile environment. And I know there's no fans, and so it's an unfair measure maybe to put this on quote, being the home team, but still, Goo, you went to New York on turf and you won a couple of games, and now you're back home, and even though you don't have fans to support you, you're playing in familiar confines. You should be better than 0-4.
Yeah, let's welcome in Doc Holliday right now. Doc Holliday hosts the L.A. Ramblings podcast along with his former college and Rams teammate Isaac Bruce. Doc also has a voiceover company and does voiceover work for TV, radio, documentaries, etc. And Doc is brought to you on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers Guest Line. Doc, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. How much more fun is doing the podcast this year after 5 weeks than last year after 5 weeks?
Man, what you said, you know, and luckily for us, man, this is me and Isaac's first year doing the podcast for the Rams, man. So I'm glad we picked it up in a year where they, you know, they're playing some good football, man, and hopefully we'll have a great season. But thank you all for having me, man. It's my pleasure, man, and I look forward to chopping it up with you all.
Doc, I got to ask you, last year it was Todd Gurley's world, and then he took a step back. I mean, how much fresh air is there now that he's gone, he's in Atlanta? Because it seems like the Rams have, you know, they got their act together offensively.
I mean, it's huge, man. You would think losing somebody like Todd Gurley, even though he had been dealing with some injuries and was not playing like the Todd Gurley that they was used to seeing, that the offense would have taken a step back. But actually, man, you know, it's kind of hard that you can run 3 running backs out there and all 3 of them can give you something different and you still can be effective. It's a huge breath of fresh air, man. But I think what the Rams are doing is that, you know, anytime they run the football, whether they're running the ball effectively or well or not, but anytime they're running the football, that makes that offense be that much better, and that makes Jared Goff play that much better. And I know I did a stat, man, like last year, anytime they ran the ball at least 30 or more times, they were 7-0. And pretty much the same thing this year, man. Anytime they run the ball, even though the yard per carry could be 3 yards or something, but anytime they run the ball, man, their chances of succeeding and chances of winning go way up. So it's a breath of fresh air that these three running backs, man, can still go out there and be effective as a collective unit.
How much has the shorter passing game benefited Jared Goff as well, getting the ball out of his hands into the receiver's hands and letting them make plays?
Man, hey, it's huge because he doesn't have to stand back there and think as much. Anytime you don't have to go back there and think as much, and a lot of times you can probably see with Jared Goff, man, because they like to do the play action. So anytime he sees that linebacker movement, a non-movement, or just to freeze that linebacker and those safeties for just half a second using the play action, he pretty much knows where he wants to go with the ball before he comes out there, especially when he's utilizing that play action, man. So for him not to be back there worried, man, bouncing around for a couple of seconds and taking these 5 and 6 and 7 yard drops, man, it's huge for how well he plays. You can see that because he gets the ball out of his hand, the play action, the misdirection, man. That game and that offensive game plan fits him perfectly. So for him not to be back there worried about getting sacked or getting hit, even though this offensive line is playing much better, man, you see how much better that player Jared Goff is, and he's looking like the Jared Goff that we had a couple of years ago.
Doc Holliday hosts the L.A. Ramblings podcast along with his former college and Rams teammate, Isaac Bruce. Doc, we had Alex Boone on, former NFL offensive lineman, earlier today on 95.7 The Game, and he said when it comes to Aaron Donald, you cannot get cute. You simply have to double-team him all game long. Would you kind of agree with that philosophy, or is he a player that you got to give different looks to because he's just so superior?
Look, man, I don't care if you get cute with Aaron Donald. I don't care if you get ugly. I don't care if you get passive. It really doesn't matter what you do, man, because, I mean, me and Isaac talk about Aaron Donald, and we just recorded a preview podcast today, and it's like I don't even know what else to say about the dude, man, because if it's one-on-one, he's going to kill you. If it's double team, you may get him for a little while, man, but if your quarterback don't get rid of that football, he's going to eventually find his way to him and get and just shed you. With Aaron Donald, you got to try all kinds of different things, man. You got to leave the running back in there. You have to leave the running back in there and say, don't worry about the defensive end, man. Just stand right here and see if you see 99 flash anywhere, because the way he's absolutely destroying dudes, man, it's funny because he's not that big of a dude, but he's so strong in his technique and his quickness, man. It's just really, really – he just doesn't play nice. He doesn't play well with strangers, man. That's just all. He doesn't play well with strangers.
Doc, I need your help, man. We saw the Niners last year. Jimmy Garoppolo quarterbacked them to almost a Super Bowl victory. But, Doc, fans here think Jimmy might not be the guy. What do you see in Jimmy Garoppolo?
Nothing. You tell you the truth. Hey, look, I mean, you know.
Wow, Doc.
No, I'm joking, man. I'm a Ram. What you say about Jimmy? We expect you to pump him up, you know what I'm saying? But, no, man, it's like he's lost his confidence, man. I don't know what's going on with Jimmy, man. And a lot of times, that's why being a quarterback, man, it's really a lot more than just physical attributes. You got to have the mental fortitude. You got to have the mental toughness, man. And whether you playing have a bad game, whether you have a bad snap, whether you have a bad play or a bad series, you got to brush that off, man. You can't lose. That's one position you cannot lose your confidence. And it looks like he lost his confidence. I don't know if he's probably dealing with a little injury or something here and there. But with Jimmy, man, you know, he had his breakout year last year, and he led you all to the, you know, led them to the Super Bowl. But now it's like, okay, Jimmy, long term, what are you going to do, man? Now when defense is looking at, they're in the scouting room and they're just looking at you. They're scouting you. They're knowing how to attack you. They're knowing how to attack your receivers. They know what kind of looks to give you. That's going to give you problems. So now you got to figure out a way to figure out what they're doing to beat that. And I don't think Jimmy has gotten there yet, man. He needs to get his confidence back. He needs to start cursing, yelling, smacking, doing whatever he can, man, to get some confidence. And I think that's what he's lacking, because he has the physical tools, but I think it's just a mental thing right now.
I think he's got to look for number 85, George Kittle. And how much does his presence, not only over the middle but everywhere in the pass game, how much does that give the Rams pause before they go ahead and put this in the win column?
Hey, it gives, you know, when you have a tight end like George Kittle, hey, George Kittle, that gives every defense pause, because 9 times out of 10, man, linebackers and outside linebackers are not very good coverage people. basement. When you have somebody like him that's running like a wide receiver, and you're going to have a linebacker trying to cover him or even a strong safety, that's a mismatch. Because he's going to be taller than the defensive back. He's probably going to be taller than the linebacker and more elusive. So, no, I don't think the Rams are looking at this game like, okay, this is an automatic win, because they understand it's the 49ers. The 49ers at home, even though the 49ers hadn't won at home yet, but still, this is the 49ers squad that went to the Super Bowl last year, and they do have some weapons, and they have that weapon right there. So if they can get that ball in George's hands, man, and allow him more opportunities to make some plays, and the Rams, as well as their defense is playing, I think they're fourth in total defense points allowed, and the 49ers are fifth, but as well as their defense playing, their linebacker unit is really the weakest part of that defense, so they're not really playing that well, and that's pretty much who will be lined up on George Kittle, so that's somebody that they definitely need to look at, because he will hurt you, man.
Doctor, just to be honest, before I let you go, a lot of 49er fans are very concerned about the season. The defense has been decimated. You know, obviously, no Bosa, no Richard Sherman, et cetera. If the 49ers were to win this game, what do you think it's going to look like?
The Rams got to turn the ball over. Jared Goff has to throw a couple of interceptions. Because other than that, I don't see it happening, man, because the Rams going to run the football because they want to do that misdirection. Like I said, I don't care if they're averaging 3 yards a carry. They're going to run the football, and Jared Goff is still going to be efficient because he has those different weapons. And with the Rams' offense, you know, it's always somebody else he can throw to. He has Cooper. He has Robert. You know, he has a couple of great tight ends as well. There's Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett. Van Jefferson, you have to watch out. Josh Reynolds, and you had Darrell Henderson coming out of the backfield. He can catch. So if the 49ers are to get this win, man, they have to turn the Rams over, man, and also force them to kick field goals, because I call Sam Slowman. So they don't have any confidence in Slowman. So if you get them out there and possibly miss a field goal or something, 49ers have a very good chance of winning this ball game.
Hey, Doc, great stuff, man. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. Good luck with the L.A. Ramblings podcast with Isaac Bruce.
Hey, man, thank you all, man. You all have a good weekend, man.
You too. Doc Holliday. Good stuff. Hey.
Man, I like him.
Yeah, I do too. Good energy. Good energy. And we need that on a Friday, for sure. He says the only way the Niners win, though, is to turn over the Rams. That, you know, when I hear that, I don't like that. You know what I mean? If you get turnovers, great. But you also would like to think you can win the game straight up if you have to. He doesn't think they can.
Right. You asked him about Jimmy Garoppolo, and what do you think about Jimmy Garoppolo?
Wow.
Nothing. His answer was nothing. And that's to your point, Steiny. Jimmy Garoppolo does not strike fear into the heart of opponents. When you play the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes is your number one concern. When you play the Ravens, you're worried.
Right.
And when you play the Packers, you're worried about number 12. And, you know, you go around to a bunch of teams, and you're worried about that guy. Jimmy Garoppolo is not one you worry about. So you look at the other pieces. You worry about this run game. If you fall behind, the run game is muted. You worry about George Kittle. But if Jimmy G doesn't get time, Kittle is somewhat muted. You used to worry about the pass rush, but you don't have Nick Bosa. So when you look at the Niners as an opponent and you talk about what you're worried about, to me, Goo, it's mainly the run game, which means you got to stay in this thing to be able to run the ball.
Yeah, but when he painted that picture, Steiny, I just thought of an NBA game where maybe you're the fourth or fifth option, but then guys go down and now you're the number one option and the D is just geared up toward you. I never once this season, fellas, thought that, you know, they're scouting or looking at Jimmy to take away things, but I'm not, you know, I put his problems on the injuries more than anything else, but it's kind of scary when you're not that quarterback you talk about, Dibs, to where you scare defenses. It just sounds like it's more easier than not to kind of take you away. And they guard your receivers different because they know what you like to do and what route you like to throw. Stoney, I mean, man.
888-957-9570 is the number. We're having some fun. We want you to put a headline out for what you think will be in a newspaper, which is something that we used to have in this country. I want to know your headline for Monday after the 49ers-Rams game. What's your headline going to be? Mine is rammed. 49ers give the horns to L.A. I think the Niners got a shot at this one. I really do. They have played a bad football game and a mediocre football game, and I think they've got more in them. So my headline, of course, guys, rammed. 49ers give the horns to
I
LA.
Like it. I like Thank it. You. The Dibs playing dealer. We got a headline over here, Goo, before we get to yours, because I'm kind of on the same masthead as Steiny. I got Goff coughs it up, Niners slay McVay.
Not bad. Not bad. You got one out there, 888-957-9570. You can either hit up the text line or give us a call, and we'll you know what? We have kid gloves. We're not gonna make fun of you. Listen, yeah. Really stinks.
We don't grade hard, right? We'll grade with a curve.
No. Yeah. Eddie in Vallejo wants to talk about where the Niners are right now. What's going on, Eddie? What do you got?
Hey guys, well, based on what you just said, my headline would be Jimmy shows glimpses of 29 in the Rams win.
Okay, high scoring 49ers loss is what you're smelling.
I see him winning, but I only see him winning by 3, and I do see it as a last drive, last possession type thing. But the reason why I was calling you guys is last year when the Niners made it to the Super Bowl, obviously we were very happy, but I was thinking in my mind, it was a team that was crap that was making progress, and we crapped on them for the year of progress to make it to the Super Bowl. So my question for you guys is, did they outperform themselves last year, or are they still trying to get it together and the ball is just not dropping their way?
I think it's a fair question. I think it's a fair question. And I think the answer resides a little bit in the middle. I don't think they're this bad, but maybe they're not a 13-3 team. Maybe they were more like an 11-5 team last year. And you know, the cold hard reality sometimes is they don't get that win against Seattle last game of the year, and they won it by essentially 2 inches. They don't have home field. And then who knows what happens. So you just see the fine line. That's why I think we all acknowledged it was going to be hard to go back out there and get home field throughout. And that's why I thought, you know what, just be solid and get back to the playoffs. But that's in jeopardy right now with this team at 2-3. By the way, if the caller's right and Jimmy Garoppolo leads the 49ers to a late comeback victory, well, then the problems with Garoppolo are shelved for
Jimmy,
a couple weeks, no
Jimmy.
Doubt about it. That would be the best case scenario, you know, assuming he's not terrible for 3.5 quarters. But if Jimmy Garoppolo engineers an 80-yard drive the last 3 minutes and the 49ers win the game, I mean, that's the kind of win that can launch you a little bit.
Definitely, especially when you're in a situation where it gets you to 3-3, and it would quell a lot of the concerns that we've all talked about with Jimmy G, his relative health, and his immediate future and his long-term future. He needs a good performance. This team needs a good performance. And you mentioned it, Stein. It all starts with the offensive line. And for me, Goo, there's just one scoreboard this weekend, and that's the scoreboard, because Jimmy G can play well in a loss, and it doesn't matter. He could play poorly in a win, and it doesn't matter, because you need this win in order to make the subsequent games in this so-called gauntlet matter.
Yeah, I hear you. And here I go, being Monday morning quarterback. You know, I kind of push back on Doc's assessment of Garoppolo not having confidence. I don't see that. I mean, you come out from a Super Bowl loss week one against Arizona. You miss a throw, but the game was there to be had, and then you get hurt. But, Dibs, you know what? And, Steiny, I mean this. The decision now to let Buckner go, and obviously they did that thinking everybody was going to be healthy and D Ford you could count on. But the fact that D Ford looks like a booby prize that the Chiefs got over on you didn't want to do whatever it took to keep Buckner here when you could have. And now you got to deal with the repercussions. And, Steiny, you took me back to that Seattle game here briefly, to where as dominant as that defense was, it took that call in that game to get them the number one seed. And now when you look on the defensive side of the ball, nothing's the same, Dibs. And nothing really stays the same in life. I'm wondering if this thing again gets out of hand coming into next year. I know I got to slow down, young fella. Do we look at 19 as a fluke? Like, did everything just go their way with the last place schedule that maybe that was more the 4-12, the 6? Like, last year was, that's not what you were going to do year in and year out, because how else can you explain what we're seeing, and if it gets ugly, what we're about to see?
I think it just depends on how you look at it. And if you wind up 4-12 or 5-11 and it's because you had injuries, then so be it. That's where you're at. I think as long as you show some fight and you show some verve, if Jimmy Garoppolo is able to stay healthy and go out there and play, and maybe he lights it up and you lose games, or maybe you win some, you lose some, and he plays okay, at least you're going to have the opportunity to see him. And Robert Saleh spoke to this yesterday as well as it pertains to the young secondary, because right now, of all the cornerbacks you have on your roster, none of them are signed for next year of the veterans, Witherspoon and Mosley and Verrett and Sherman. So you're going to have to see players in practice and in games and make judgments about where you're going in 2021.
Yeah, the thing that's amazing is when you talk about a team that's having a bad year, you realize that the reason you're having a bad year is for a variety of reasons. The offensive line has been terrible. The defensive line has been a shell of itself. And the secondary has been extremely subpar. So here's where I'm at going into this game Sunday. This week, you had essentially all your starters on offense practicing together. All right, they still don't have Tevin Coleman, but they got Kittle, they got Debo, they got Ayuk, they got Mostert. Garoppolo participated in all the practices this week, unlike last week. If this offense doesn't do something on Sunday, that to me would be the biggest disappointment of any of the groups of the team, because they have no excuse on offense right now, none. And if their excuse is, the offensive line just is not – well,
going there.
That means your assessment of the offensive line was wrong, not the offensive line was decimated by injury, and that's a big difference.
I'm sorry, Stein. It's a difference, but I think when you look at the fact that the center is banged up and you have a new tackle, I think that there are things you could look at. I know you're not happy about that, Steiny, but
why
is
that okay for the O-line, but you tell me it's not okay for the quarterback? You got to judge accordingly with the
quarterback. It's not okay for the O-line.
It's not okay, but as we're looking at reasons, Steiny said the offense is all back and it's all intact, and that's not completely true because the center is a little bit hobbled, and you've got Debo now in his second game back. You're relying on a rookie, Brandon Ayuk. So, yeah, your offense is intact, but it's not necessarily at peak form right now.
But by the same token, the 49ers played a lot last year without Joe Staley. They played last year a lot without Weston Richburg. So, relative to last year, they might even be healthier. Let's go to Derek. Derek's in Richmond. He's got a headline for us. Give it to me, the Derek, what do you got, Dibs?
The Derek Daly.
The Derek Daly. What's going on, man?
The headline is the 40 Winers.
Usually,
that's
okay,
it, Derek?
Elaborate.
One hitter quitter, baby. One line, one word.
He's gone?
Yeah, and like that.
Derek,
coming up,
I'll tell you what. You got it.
Shout out David Bruce.
He's got to go back. He's got to go to journalism school.
Yeah. Well, the headline was catchy, but then you go to the story and there's not even any copy, right, let alone to get to the jump page, Steiny.
It's a no-context headline.
Right. Right.
Come on now, D.
What happened in the game? We take it to the last one.
Right. See, they complain about calls, or why were they 40 whiners? We need some depth there.
Missed
we need some
all sides. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see if Nick can come through. Nick in Berkeley.
My headline is Jerry Goose. Niners, two interceptions leads to victory. How about that?
And he's Jerry.
If we can get third down conversions and keep the other teams off the field, we'll be all right because our defense will rest. and you know, the resting defense, it'll hide some deficiencies. But if we're 1 out of 10 converting third down, we're in trouble.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
Jared Goof. Wow. Jerry, by the way. Yeah, okay. Jerry is Jared's father. Shout out Santa Fe High School. I grew up with Jerry Goff. I've known Jerry since I was about 8 years old. Yeah, Santa Fe High. I think class of 83, Steiny, Jerry Goff.
Congratulations.
Yeah you're welcome. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I just want to make it clear that it's not like I didn't know Jared was Goff's first name. I thought he said Jerry, and I was.
Okay. Yeah.
And I want to know why I get congratulated for the coincidence of growing up next to a guy who went on to major leagues. Spadoni's drops sometimes they baffle me. Yeah. Yeah, so congratulations because I grew up next to a guy who made the majors. Okay.
It's a sarcastic drop.
Yeah.
It's basically
Spadoni beefing a little bit, Steiny.
He thinks, I don't know if he can. What his interpretation is, oh, wow. Hey, congrats, Dibley. You grew up next to a guy who's more famous than you.
Gotcha.
Like, okay. Congratulations, dude. Give me something to really congratulate you. All right. Jonathan in San Francisco. Let's go. You know better. You know better, Jonathan. What's up?
Sorry about that, man.
It's all right.
Headline. Jimmy Garoppolo is Alex Smith with turnovers. I mean, let's face it. He's the same guy, but he gets turnovers. He can't throw deep. It's all dink and dunk. I mean, but they don't have a choice, man. The Rams are coming, and they're not going to take a game. They want to take your season. So make a stand. Make a stand. There's no excuses, man. So what if Salah can't coach the defense? This is survival mode, man. You're a rat trapped in the quarter. You're going to have to chew your way out of this.
Nice.
We're
not a baby, Jonathan. Not a way to fight back. That's a way to fight back. It's not bad. See, I think a lot of times in the NFL, sometimes, anyway, wins and losses are determined by timing. And I think the 49ers are up against it, and they know it. And whether the Rams have a mentality of ending the 49ers season or not, to me, it's a more important game for the 49ers than the Rams. And I expect them to play that, to tell you the truth. I expect them to play hungry and like an underdog. That's just me.
And you think after this game, fellas, they'll have 10 games left on the slate. So there'll be 10 games left. So we could see a season spiral out of control, Dibs, to where, you know what, you can't just pack it in and get your ticket to Tahiti, and this will be over in a week or two. This could get long. A lot of backstabbing. I don't know, but I don't like what I'm hearing from the O-line when reporters step to the O-lineman about your lackluster performance as a unit, and they're defending themselves, talking about I played good. So a lot of things could come out when things aren't going good in the locker room. Winning hides is the greatest deodorant, man.
The best. Yeah, the best. And right now, you don't have terrible BO. You're starting to stink just a little bit, but a win would be a nice roll-on, double-sided. Get that nice deodorant in there. All of a sudden, there wouldn't be so stinky at 3-3.
Yeah, and I think there's reason to be optimistic, and it's on the defensive side of the ball, and we'll talk about that on the other side, and that will be brought to you by the Metropolitan Transportation Commission.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, yeah. Matt Steinmetz, Dan Dibley, Darryl, the Guru Johnson. And
two hearts, Steiny.
Let me tell you something. We've got this thing going called Elevate Your Tailgate. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And we'd love to include you guys. All you got to do is go to 957thegame.com or any of our social media accounts and check out this week's video of Joe the Butcher Boy Shasky and our very own Darryl, the Guru Johnson, as we show you how to elevate your tailgate. It's brought to you by Snake River Farms. Oof. They are the pioneer of American Wagyu beef. And Zenni, the official eyewear of the San Francisco 49ers. By the way, on the text line, we were talking about Wagyu beef earlier. And about the cows, etc. And somebody texted in and said, you know, Wagyu beef is really Japanese. That is where the concept originated, yes. But this is the Snake River Farms, they're the pioneer of American Wagyu beef, and they've implemented many of the same things as they do in Japan for the finest beef available.
Real quick here, fellas, I got some good news. Might make me change my prediction for Sunday night. I'm 50-50. But Niners will be wearing their all-white Steiny Sunday night, the throwback. So, woo, Diz, watch out now. Same are ones they big, beat Seattle in Week 17 last year.
Are you a big believer in uniform karma where, oh, we're going to wear these uniforms and then therefore it's going to lead to victory?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Dibs, it's real. And I follow Paul Lucas. Shout out Paul Lucas on Twitter. He has all the new updates, Steiny. You should follow him on Twitter about uniforms when they change. Paul Lucas.
So they're
not
wearing...
to be mixed with Frank Lucas.
Who are you?
Thank
Who's
you.
He?
American Gangster, Denzel. One of Denzel's more underrated performances.
Oh, Denzel, is that the King Kong?
No, that was a training day. Yeah, yeah. King Kong ain't got
this
nothing.
This is American Gangster.
Yeah, this is when he was night. He was having a little breakfast with his friends, and he saw a rival, and he excused himself, gently wipes his mouth, walks down the street with his best friend, and sees a rival squeezing some fruit. The rival offered up some unwanted trash talk, and then Frank Lucas pulled out his piece and delivered one straight between the eyes. Put some money in the man's shirt pocket, strolled back, and finished his breakfast. That's Frank.
Why did he put money in the pocket?
Because
he said he owed him tax for this being his corner. Frank, exactly. You know it's 50%? I want 50%. 50%,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah,
we got to get together, man.
He peeled off the 50% and put it into his shirt pocket, I don't believe that the man was able to collect. Shout out Idris Elba for taking one for the team. That was a great scene, Goo. Denzel v. Idris.
Classic.
Score this one for Denzel.
It sounds somewhat violent, but I'm not necessarily averse to that. Hey, George Kittle did his weekly press conference, and he was talking about Joe Staley, who obviously retired at the end of last year. And George Kittle elaborated a little bit on his conversation with Joe. Take a listen.
You know, I talked to him after last game, and he was just like, look, like, you have to hold people accountable, and you have to tell them that you have to hold them to the highest standard, because that's what we've done for the last 3 years is hold guys to an incredibly high standard. And, you know, I'm not saying we're lacking in that at all. I'm just saying we're trying to find our footing as a team. And, as captains, too, like I said, when you lose Joe Staley, and, you know, Sherm hasn't been here, really, you lose two guys that you look up to, it is hard. And like I said, I have to be a better captain. I'm still learning how to do that. And I think I'm getting better at that every single day. Fred Warner's getting better at it every single day. All our guys are. And so it's a daily process, and I think we're going to improve.
I like it. You got to love
it. I don't like that you have to go outside the building, though. If you're a leader, leaders lead, Dibs. You got to go outside. My point is there's an issue.
How can you take a positive like that and turn it into a negative? I mean,
but Kittle's the leader. I didn't know he needed any.
First of all, he's still young. He was a fifth-round pick. He's growing into that role. And what better way to grow into it than to dial up Joe Staley or vice versa?
I'm with you, Steiny. This feels a little hypocritical, Goo, from a man who would reach out to one of his mentors when you had some questions about things going 10-2. My phone would blow up, and I was all too happy to offer up my leadership from outside the building, so that's okay.
You went outside our building? You went outside our building, Goo?
Not our building. Dibs is technically in the building, but was a text in. Yeah.
There's a few texts.
A
couple times a year, Guru will come out of the lab and say, Dibs, can I bend your ear for a minute? And, we'll jump on the phone and we'll exchange it. But I guess that's okay, but this isn't, Goo?
No, it's not a bad thing, what you guys are trying to say. It just lets me know that what young Kittle's dealing with, or Fred Warner, the quote-unquote leader that we talk about, they could use some seasoning. And this is a big deal, enough for Kittle, to do the right thing. Shout out Spike Lee, to call his mentor and Joe Staley to get better at it. That's all, Steiny. Something's going on over there, And I like the progressiveness on it, but it's letting me know that Kittle's looking at whatever's going on like, whoa, this is bigger than me. I got to call Joe Staley. Okay, you get better. Now, next time you don't got to call Joe. I don't know, but something's going on.
Well, I'll tell you what's going on, and I think we're finding it out, is that there's two parts of Richard Sherman. One is his play, and I think the second part is his leadership. Sounds to me like that is a big part of, you know, Sherman is such a natural at that, you know, and sometimes it takes a while to learn. Joe Staley's name has come up a little bit more this week. Obviously, Joe Staley retired at the end of the year, and the offensive line is having problems this year. Alex Boone was on with the morning roast, and here's what he said about not having Joe Staley out there.
I think when you're looking at this team, I think that not having Joe Staley out there right now is kind of showing. Joe was one of those guys that had the respect of everybody. Mm-hmm. And when I say everybody, I even mean the Yorks. And that's important because people will always look to you for that, and you're the pillar that everybody needs, and all of a sudden you're gone one day, and there's no offseason, and nobody really has a chance to take that role of stepping up and being the guy that everyone can count on. And I think that Mike is kind of being put in a position where you're kind of like, is it you? Are you the guy that has to stand up, or is it going to be Trent? Who's the guy that's going to come out here? You don't have Weston right now, which is a huge loss because he's the kind of guy that sets the tempo. But with Mike, it's kind of like, hey, listen, we need you to be the guy to step up. You need to start mauling people. You need Daniel to come along with you. We need you to be a leader. And I think that with the offense being in flux as they are and not having Joe there and no offseason, it's kind of a formula for a bad recipe.
All right, I'm willing to be open-minded to that, but how does it square with this? Joe Staley was hurt in week two last year. He came back in, where is it, week 10, all right? And then he went out again with a finger dislocation and returned in week 14. So Joe Staley only played 7 games last year. So what was Dibbs saying? How can I miss something I never had or that
song? If it won't go away. How do I miss you if you won't go away? And that's to the greater point, he didn't go away. He wasn't on the field, but he was in every meeting. He was at the practices, and he was providing leadership and mentorship. And Alex Boone makes an interesting point because who is it this year? Trent Williams is a vet, but he had a year off and he's new in town. Lakin Tomlinson is a guy trying to just compete and fight for his job. Weston Richburg would be the guy, but he's not in there, and you've got a hampered Ben Garland at center. You look across the line, you don't have a veteran presence. You don't have a guy playing confidently in the system, and as a result, it's a little bit of a patchwork, haphazard effort.
Well, you know what, Dibs? It sounds like to me, if I may, it's mindset. It's not about actual physical play. And with Staley not being there, they're searching for that. But I'm going to say this, Donnie. If I'm Trent Williams and I look around, I've been to umpteen Pro Bowls. I beat cancer. And, you know, does it mean just because he's the new person in town, he can't be boisterous? I mean, come on, Trent, they need you. He was a captain in Washington on that O-line. He was a mauler. So it's time you be a baller. Not saying he hasn't, but somebody needs to lead this group or cuss him out. Somebody needs to get cussed out on this O-line, especially when you go to two guys. Hey, you know what you have? Hey, my PFF is okay. It ain't me. That's what I didn't like this week, Dibs. And I'm not saying McGlinchey.
It's McGlinchey. That's the guy. McGlinchey has got to seek
own
out
it?
Trent Williams. Okay, like Staley sought out McGlinchey when McGlinchey was a rookie. And I get it, Trent Williams isn't a rookie, but McGlinchey has got to be he's going to be the natural biggest leader of that line, but he's got to get Williams on his side and seek out from Williams how to do things better, et cetera. So I think it's McGlinchey's the natural on that line.
I think it's all five of them, Steiny. And when they go in this past Monday and they put on the film and the credits roll, you got Freddy Krueger, it's Jason, it's Damien Omen. That thing's a horror film. So you're an offensive lineman. You don't even bring popcorn to that. You know you're going to be scared for 3 hours watching that horror film. But it's up to the coaching staff to build them up after that. And really, when you look at the tape, as I know all three of us have watched the game now 6 times apiece, at least.
I got it on now.
Yeah, but who doesn't, Goo? Yeah,
I mean, but I do. See,
I got it on 2 devices.
Third
actually.
Five, Niners got the ball.
Okay, as you're watching it, Goo, the breakdowns are communication with this team. They gave up sacks. And when you give up sacks, look at all the drives this year where the 49ers have given up a sack and tell me how many points they've scored on those drives. It's not many.
Okay.
Go ahead, Goo.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, okay, we didn't think this was a weakness. I'm judging my quarterback if he's going to be my future or continue to be my future franchise quarterback. Just saying, if the O-line doesn't get their groove back, then how much of that goes into can we really evaluate number 10? Forget the injury. How do I value my supposed franchise quarterback if now all of a sudden the O-line has lost its identity, Dibs and Steiny? Double-edged sword.
Honestly, you know what you do? You evaluate him last year with a great offensive line, wow. And you evaluate him this year knowing that the offensive line isn't very good. The communication, I got to believe, the 49ers think is correctable. Guru mentioned the uniforms, and it's been a long time since they wore those all whites. Yeah. Interesting what happened the last time they wore the all whites. I'll tell you what that was, and that's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.